did bring your Bibles with you, why don't we turn over to the book of Proverbs together? The book of Proverbs. I'll tell you one of the advantages to preaching through Proverbs. We've been in a series now. We're just called Foolproof Life now for about the last four or five Sundays. And we've mentioned how different the book of Proverbs is compared to other books of the Bible in that a lot of the other books kind of have like a continuous stream. And as you preach through, there's kind of a narrative and like a storyline. And Proverbs is radically different from that. Proverbs is very random. It's just like a series of these random and pithy kind of statements and sayings about wisdom from all different facets of life. And one of the advantages to preaching through this series at this juncture of a season, all right, of the year, is you're able to address specific topics. And I'm excited today that we're honoring graduates. And so what I've decided to do is to talk about planning. Prioritizing things in our lives and planning. So with that, what I've discovered is in life, there are basically two different types of people. There are those who plan and there are those who don't, right? There are those that, you know, that strategize their every move, the moves of their spouses, their children, their grandchildren, right? I mean, they've got a plan for all of them. And then there are those who don't. So let me see, by showing of hands, where are our planners? Where are the planners in the room? Okay, we've got some, okay. Now, let me ask you this for you planners. How many of you are married to a non-planner? Can I see those? Right. How's that going for you? Right. How's that working out? Right. But just keeping with the theme here through the book of Proverbs, I just want to walk through this morning. Let's talk about prioritizing and planning for our lives. If you read through the book of Proverbs, and I hope you have been throughout this series, is you've probably noticed that it has a few things to say, you know, about establishing priorities, about making plans. And to summarize, basically, if you kind of condense it all together, what I've discovered is just kind of pulling it from, you know, different areas or whatever, is the big idea in Proverbs is kind of this. Planning is an important aspect of getting your life organized and moving in a positive and a godly direction. That's kind of the gist of where Solomon goes with this. I hope this will be very appropriate for you graduates, and you've got a pen and your outlines out, and you'll be taking some copious notes. As I was preparing for this, I was reminded of a book that I read very early on in my ministry. It's by a gentleman by the name of Gordon MacDonald. Maybe you've read some of his stuff. Years ago, he wrote a really good book. It's called Ordering Your Own Private World. And in that book, he just talks about, you know, how important it is to set and establish good priorities and then to pursue those priorities throughout our lives. And he explains it in this way. He says, imagine standing on a dock somewhere and you're peering at a cruise ship. Now, in relation to that ship, okay, who is the most important person? Who would be the most important person? Right, a lot of us would say the captain. Gordon MacDonald would contend the most important person on, you know, in regards to that ship is the architect or the builder of it. True? His point is this. You can be a fantastic captain. However, if the ship that you're sailing is flawed, it's going to have a significant impact upon your ability to get where you're going. I mean, just witness. We saw this about a month ago, that, you know, this Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, and the tragedy involved with that ship. I mean, captaining a defective ship can make for a very rough and perhaps even a dangerous cruise. And this is a good analogy for life, you know, because you can be a godly, hardworking person. However, if you lack any sort of a game plan, it's really like, you know, captaining a flawed ship. It's going to inhibit your ability to navigate your way through life. It's going to make things difficult for you to arrive at the destination and the destiny that God has in store for you. And that's the significance of planning, according to the book of Proverbs. So I just want to just get super practical this morning, just sift through a handful of the Proverbs and maybe glean some practical wisdom as it pertains to planning. Now, the first thing I want us to understand about planning is this. And that is this idea and this concept that life has its seasons. Life has its seasons. I mean, the book of Ecclesiastes, like Proverbs, is another one of the wisdom books. It's found kind of tucked away in the middle of the Old Testament. The book of Ecclesiastes is penned by this same guy, Solomon, who wrote or compiled many of the Proverbs. Here's what he has to say. He says, you know, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under the heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time to plant, a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down, a time to build. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Next slide, please. I'll pick it up from here. Number five. Okay, here we go. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Teenagers, I hope you're picking up on that one. Okay, there's a time for that and a place. There's a time to search, a time to give up. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. And some of you hoarders haven't quite got that one together yet. Just look at my basement. Anyway, there's a time to tear and a time to mend. There's a time to be silent, a time to speak, time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And then verse 11, he says this, He, God, has made everything beautiful, how, church? In its time. He's made it beautiful in His time. And this is such an insightful passage. You know, he's saying here that there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under the heaven, including our lives. You know, life has its many different seasons, and these seasons impact the way that we plan for things. Okay? You think about it. You know, there are all these different seasons of life. You start out as a baby. Eventually, you mature and become a child. From child, you get kind of in midway through your high school, and you become a young adult. And from after that, you're going to graduate. Maybe some of you head off to college or trade school. Others of you are going to jump right into a job. And so you're going to become an adult worker. And then at that point, some will get married. And then after you're married, some of you will have kids, and you're going to become a parent, a season of parenting. Let me see the hands of you who have children. Does that not affect the way you plan? Oh, yeah. That one, it'll radically impact the way that you plan your lives, right? And then from parenting, you'll go to empty nesting. Oh, this is a good season. Or it was a good season for a while, right? Because some of us became grandparents, and sometimes those grandkids, no. But anyway, and then from grandparent, you know, kind of gets life can get a little harder because then you enter this season of life where you become kind of a caretaker. Maybe you've heard of the sandwich generation, right? Where you're kind of sandwiched in between having those adult children, and then you've got senior adult parents where things start getting a little rough, and so you kind of become this caretaker. And then you hit this phase where you're in a retiree. And then probably one of the toughest seasonal changes in all of life is when a spouse passes away, and now you enter the season of being a widow or a widower. And then, of course, life ends with our dying days. And so you see, life, just as Solomon says, it has its seasons. And those changing of seasons obviously have a bearing on our life's plans. And what Ecclesiastes is saying is this, and Proverbs is going to dovetail, is wisdom is this. It's figuring out what season you're in and then planning accordingly. Because let's face it, not all plans work for every season of life. True? I mean, just think about it. As a retiree, it's a perfectly good plan, right, to sleep in every day. However, as an adult worker, that plan's going to get you fired, okay? Just saying. As a child, it's a perfectly acceptable plan to have your mother cut the crust off of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. However, as a young adult, going to be a bit embarrassing, guys, when your mom shows up at the college cafeteria every day, right, to cut the crust off your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Not a good plan. And let me just say this for you graduating guys, okay? I would say wait until at least, I'd say the fourth or fifth date with your newfound girlfriend before you ask her to do this for you, okay? Just saying. That's for free, okay? That one's free. You know, as an empty nester, it's a perfectly acceptable plan to fix dinner for two every night. However, as parents, you know, this is going to get you a visit from the nice lady from the Department of Job and Family Services, okay? Just saying. So I think you get the point, right? It's important for us to recognize that life has its seasons, and great pain can occur when we don't understand what season we're in. And the key is to recognize that God has, just as He says here, has made everything beautiful, what, in its time, including and especially the different seasons in life. And if we're wise, we'll make appropriate plans for the appropriate season so that we can grow to enjoy each season of life. And two, it's important to progress through the seasons without longing. This is important. Please get this, all of us, not just graduates. You know, it's important to progress through those seasons without longing to go back to the previous season. This is big. I mean, this is important in your life plans, right? You graduates, you know, you're staring down one of the life's biggest seasonal changes. And that is you're going to be individuating from your parents. And this is massive, right? I mean, this is one of the greatest changes in life, and there'll be such a fusion of emotions. You're going to have anxiety mixed with excitement, right? I mean, I remember so well the day we loaded up all of my belongings and drove down to Cincinnati Bible College, and I remember watching my parents, right, their little car just disappear over the horizon, right? And then, you know, I start, you know, attending classes, and I start going to these different classes, and it was like every one of those professors thought I was taking their course individually, right? As I started getting all those plans, and, you know, these term papers are due, and I just remember kind of, you know, becoming overwhelmed with all that and thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into, right? And it was like, you know, every fiber of my being was going, I just want to go back, right? This isn't for me. I'm in way over my head. You know, I think I want to go back. But the key is this, friends. No. You're in a new season of life, right? And at that point, it's important to pivot, right? And to make new plans for that season of your life that's going to propel you forward and for you to be successful. And this is true at almost every season of life, not just for graduates, right? But for all of us. You know, I know married people that say, man, my life was so much simpler when I was single. No. You're married now. This is a new season that God has brought you to. And so the key is to begin to pivot, right? And to start making plans for your marriage and how you're going to succeed and propel forward. You know, as an empty nester, right? It's important to, you know, to realize that, man, I just loved it when my kids were in the house. Everything was so much better. No. This is your new season in life, right? Your children has now, you know, have left the nest, and your son is now cleaving with his new wife. And you need to make plans, right, for what life moving forward is going to be like with just you and your spouse. Okay, so every one of these seasons is important to understand which one we're in. Recognize that season, embrace it, right? Plan for it and behave in a godly fashion so as to enjoy it. So the first thing when it comes to establishing plans is just understanding that life has its seasons. They have their seasons, therefore our plans are constantly going to be evolving, right? Improving. So let's talk then, number two here. Let's talk a little bit about the principles of planning, because I'm telling you, Proverbs has a lot to say about it. This first verse here, notice what he says. He says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, we've been saying all along that the book of Proverbs is a book of contrasts, right? And here we have another contrast. We have the diligent and the hasty, right? And it says a diligent person is someone who's sharp, right? And they calmly stay on top of things, while a hasty person is always in a hurry. You may know this person, right? But who are we kidding? Some of us are this person, right? Constantly running from place to place. I love how the Message paraphrases this verse. It says this, careful planning will put you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. How many of you found this to be true in your experience? You know, absolutely, right? I mean, we've heard people say, the hurrieder I go, the behinder I get, right? If we fail to make a plan, if we're always scurrying about, right? And some people are constantly busy. They work really hard at life, but they don't work smart at it, right? They just don't have a plan. They're diligent folks are proactive and they plan their steps, while hasty people are more reactive, right? If you're not going to be a planner, you know, you just need to understand that, you know, that your life is going to be always in a hurry and you're going to be reacting to every one of your circumstances, and that's what's going to drive your priorities. You know, just know that, okay? And we're encouraged here to not only be making plans, but to work diligently to fulfill those plans. You know, this is kind of the principle of planning. So let's look at some principles, okay, as you begin to think your way through life and how you want to form a plan. The first thing I'd say is this, at letter A, is to plan in tandem with the Lord. You want to plan in tandem with the Lord. What does Proverbs say? Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that ultimately will stand. Okay? So when establishing the plans for each season of life, I'm just telling you, it's important to include the Lord in the planning meeting. Okay? You're going to want to include Him in the planning meeting. And as you plan for your going forward, you know, you need to be praying for discernment. This means seeking His counsel. This means exercising solitude so that you might hear from the Lord. And when we do this, it says here that God will bless the plan that He agrees to. Okay, another Proverbs 16:9 says this, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. You see, here's the problem that we run into sometimes when we make these plans. What happens is we create a plan absent of God's input. And then what we do is then we'll submit that plan to God and we'll just ask him to bless it, right? Problem with that is, right, I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And he's like, you know what? This is not my plan at all. I mean, this isn't even a good plan. I mean, smoking pot and playing video games all day is not going to put food on the table, right? This is just not a good plan at all. And so the key then becomes just saturating the planning process in the praying process. Man, there's a great story in the Old Testament just about this. It's about a guy by the name of Nehemiah, and I'm so excited. This fall, starting in September, we're going to jump into this book. It's one of the greatest books of the Old Testament. I love the storyline. It's about a guy who was caught up in the, you know, when Israel was taken into captivity. He rose through the ranks in Babylon, became, you know, one of the top guys. He went back home to Jerusalem and found the city in complete disarray. Because when the Babylonians took the southern kingdom, they destroyed, you know, destroyed Jerusalem, tore down the walls, everything. Nehemiah went home and it broke his heart. And so he returned home. At that time, they were under Persia's leadership. And he approached this king, a guy by the name of Darius, who was sympathetic toward the Israelites and their plight. And so what happened was Nehemiah began to make a plan. He began to make a plan as to how he was going to go back and basically rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, a lot of that book is basically like, it just reads like his prayer journal. And he just, how he raised everything, and he made all of these plans. I mean, he made a research plan, financial plan, a construction plan, a legal plan. He made a PR plan, security plan, travel plan. He even made a ministry plan. And every step of the way, he just bathed the process in prayer. He partnered with God. He was in tandem with God. And God honored those plans. And he successfully executed one of the greatest leadership initiatives in all the Bible, if not the history of the world. And so it's just in that thing of praying and planning, right? Praying and planning. You see, God, he's never against planning. But what he is against is this thing of presumption, right? Where we just sit down in a vacuum. We kind of make our plans and then think, oh, at the last minute, you know what, I may want to run this past God, right? And I know people that when they don't do this, they make this plan, they get, you know, going down that road, and all of a sudden they start hitting all these closed doors, right? And then what happens is, you know, they get embittered with the Lord. And they'll say things like, I don't understand this. This was my plan, and God's not honoring my plan. Well, that's because it was your plan, right? And he wasn't involved in the process with you. So it's prudent to make plans for our future. However, we should not become presumptuous, believing that our plans will always win the day. Right? What does he say here? That many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that ultimately will stand. So we need to plan in tandem with the Lord. The second thing I'd say this, letter B, is this. We need to establish godly priorities. We need to establish some godly priorities. And you seniors in the room, you graduating seniors, man, this I hope this resonates with you. Priorities are birthed out of our values. Whether we realize it or not, we've all got a set of values. And those values are important because they act like a rudder on the ship, right? And so we establish our values, and then theoretically, those values drive our priorities in life. Okay, that's how it works out on paper, okay? However, it's important to distinguish the difference between priorities and aspirations. And I hope you catch this, because there are people that have a lot of aspirations, but they just don't make the transition into making those aspirations, you know, priorities in their lives. Aspirations are what you wish you did, and priorities are what you actually do. You see the difference? There's a difference there. Until it makes your schedule, until it fits in your budget, until you make it into, until it makes it into your life, it's not a priority. You know, all it is at that point, it's just an aspiration. Okay, I'm going to give you some examples. We say that we value our relationship with the Lord. However, I'm telling you, if we don't show up for worship, if we don't spend time in the Word and prayer, if we don't, then the relationship with the Lord is something that we aspire to, and it's not a priority. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. We say that we value our marriage. However, if we're not honoring our spouse, spending quality and quantity time with them, then, you know, well-being of our marriage is not a priority. Rather, at that point, all it is simply an aspiration. And the reason I tell you this is because it's regrettable when folks come to the end of their lives and they're just standing there with like a basket full of aspirations, having never fulfilled their life dreams and their desires. Right? And there are things they desire to do with their lives, but they were unable to transition their aspirations into their priorities. And so therefore, we've got to establish and diligently pursue some priorities in life. Right? And allow that transition to occur. Everyone and everything is important, just not as equally important. I hope you get that. You know, you're just not as equally important. And it's really important, it's the really important things that we need to prioritize. So here's a list of my priorities, okay? And as you plan down, maybe you want to adopt some of the same. And every one of these, you know, you want to see, I couch it with the word healthy. I think that, you know, that's when we set priorities, you want certain aspects of our lives to be healthy, okay? And this number one is, you know, my first aspiration is this. I want to be a healthy Christian. I want to be a healthy Christian. Look here what he says in Proverbs 1. He says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning, right? It's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. He says here that the fear, the reverence that I have for the Lord is the beginning, right? Meaning it's the top priority. It's first place. You know, because why? Because until the vertical relationship is good, nothing else is going to fall into place. And it took me a few years to learn this, okay? It took me a few years to learn this. Until this was made right, this just kept falling apart. Just kept running it into a ditch, right? And I hope you graduates are taking some notes here. Look what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. This is out of the New King James Version. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, of your increase. Notice again, it says here, first fruits. Again, we have that same concept, first. You know, God is to have first priority in our lives, right? It's God first. It's not me first, not my kids first. It's not sports and recreation first. It's not work first. We're going to hit on this in a minute, guys, okay? But it's God first. And the Bible talks about things that are important. It also talks about things that are very important. And I'm telling you, when the Bible stipulates things like first fruits, it's very, very important. So therefore, my top priority in life is to be a healthy Christian. Right? And this just simply means coming alongside of God's people and worshiping God on a regular basis. It involves praying. It involves reading your Bible, journaling, certainly meeting and developing, you know, great relationships with Christian people. Okay, so first and foremost, I want to be a healthy Christian. Following that, I want to be a healthy spouse. Now, I know this doesn't apply to everybody, okay? For you college kids, you want to get this in order, okay? A healthy spouse. My next priority below being a healthy Christian is my priorities to my wife, Terry. Proverbs 31:10 says this, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. So a healthy relationship with Terry is my second most important priority. And what this means is that my time, my resources, my energy flows toward her first and not anything or anybody else. But I tell you, here's what happens, okay? Work, let's just face it, right? I mean, for a lot of us, work is number one or number two on our list, right? I mean, let's just be honest about it. What happens then is this, our relationship with God and our spouse then takes a hit, suffers. And I know some men that will push back on this and believing that it's okay to put work ahead of their spouse because after all, it's through their work that they are what? They are supporting their spouse. They're supporting their children. It's their way that they demonstrate love. And it's great that you're supporting her financial needs. However, guys, let me let you in on a little secret. Your wife and your kids, they have more needs than just financial needs, right? They have a lot more needs than just your financial needs. Your wife, kids included, has, you know, just as they have financial needs, they have spiritual needs. They certainly have emotional needs. They need relational needs, right? Or they have relational needs. Your wife needs a total supporter, right? And not just your financial, being her financial supporter. It's that and so much more. So healthy Christian, healthy spouse. The third one is healthy children. And depending on your station in life or whatever season you're in, sometimes that might mean, you know, your grandchildren. I love what the psalmist David said this in Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Other versions read that, a blessing from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. He says here that children are a blessing from the Lord. And some of you are sitting here going, not mine, right? No. You see, when our children are little, you know, they're on our schedules, right? And we kind of dictate things. However, as they grow older, we've got to accommodate to their schedule. And let me just say this, don't just view all your children as like a herd, right? You've got to get to know your kids individually because they all have different needs. They all have different temperaments. Their love languages are different, right? And so you got to know their desires. You got to know their needs. And this takes time and it takes energy, right? I was late. Our elders get together every Sunday morning at 9 and we pray and we kind of go through like an agenda, in caring for you as our church family. And this morning, I had kind of a crazy, wild week, and Terry and I were able to get away for a day and kind of go down to Cincinnati, which kind of put me behind. And so I didn't have my stuff together this morning, right? So I was scrambling at home, and I thought, I can still make this meeting. I can still make the meeting. And I was down in our study, and I was praying and just kind of thinking through the message and putting some final things together. And I thought, okay, I'm going to run up real quick, get my clothes changed, and I'm going to run off to the meeting. When my granddaughter, Brianna, our grandchildren live with us, which is a whole different season. But anyway, she came downstairs, gives me this great big hug like she does every morning. And she says, Papa, I've made breakfast. What are you doing that, guys, right? And I decided, you know what? My grandkids are a priority. I'm in that season of life. So I texted her elders and said, hey, guys, I'm running a little short on time this morning. Go ahead and get started without me. I'm so glad we got the group of men that we do, as our elders are so understanding and caring. But I'm glad I did that, to be able to be in the moment, right, with my kids and with my grandkids and with my wife. So healthy grandchildren or healthy children, healthy worker, healthy worker. This is number 4, okay? Behind healthy Christianity, healthy spouse, healthy family. Now we're at healthy worker, okay? And it needs to be a priority. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit, right? Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. We talked a couple of weeks ago about, at the kickoff of this series, we talked about foolproof work and labor. And so you can go back and listen to that. I don't want to just completely rehash. But here's the thing, right? You've got to be committed to your job. It's got to become a priority, as though you were working for the Lord and not just man. So this means things like showing up on time. It's just simple things like give an honest day's work for an honest day pay and not be a complainer. Don't get caught up, in those water cooler conversations where you're belittling your management and just the way that the way the organization is being run. So a healthy worker. And then 5th, a healthy church member. A healthy church member, right? I think all of us need to be figuring out, what are my spiritual gifts, right? How can I serve in this church? How can I help out? Where can I pitch in? So these are the big 5. Okay, these are the big 5, and I encourage you that these kind of surface, toward the top of your list as well. And what else could we've added? There's a lot of things, right, that we could add to this list. Because not all of us are married. Not all of us have kids or grandkids, right? What else? Well, shout them out. What are some other priorities, right? About hobbies, right? So us love, I love the hunt, I love the golf, I love the fish. Some of us, what about social life? Social life, that's important. Some of you need that. Extended family certainly can be a priority. Mom, dad, aunts, uncles, in-laws, outlaws, the whole family tree, right? But here's the thing. Here's where I'm going with this. What tends to happen is this. As we just keep adding to the list, right? If we just keep adding to the list, of priorities, eventually what happens is the list will get inverted. And as a result, what happens is the core 5 suffers, right? Because, man, the busyness of life has a tendency to wedge its way in, right? And things begin to emerge as priorities that really should not, right? Someone or something, this is the reality of it, right? Someone or something will pick your priorities. Let it be you. Let it be you. Some of you are married adults, but you allow your extended family to set the agenda. You've not really known what it was to leave mom and dad and cleave to your spouse, right? And you still allow that. You still allow. You fail to recognize the new season you're in, and you fail to make the pivot, right? And you fail to, start forging out a new plan on your own. Pushy people will kind of come in, and some of us have a difficult time with that. Others of you, your life just goes from crisis to crisis to crisis, and whichever one causes the most pain becomes the priority. True, right? And some of us are like this. And I'm telling you, if you don't have priorities and you don't have a plan, you're going to be guided by your crises. I mean, it's just how it works out. So again, aspirations versus priorities. It takes an inordinate amount of discipline to make those aspirations into our true priorities. Okay, so we want to, we want to do that. We want to establish some good values. And the next thing I'd say is this letter C. We want to pivot when necessary. This is pretty crucial in the planning process, okay? Because we already talked about how when seasons change, sometimes the plans that we have no longer work, okay? And so some of you are planners, right? I mean, you've got a plan for yourself, you got a plan for your kids, your spouse, your grandkids, oh boy, right? And some of you are very intense in your planning. And you'll stick to the plan even if it doesn't work. And you just keep, this is America, by the way, okay? This is America. We're going to stick to the plan whether it works or not, right? And you need to have a plan, true, but you've got to know when to pivot. Okay, you got to know when it's time, when this plan isn't working and we need to make a pivot here. Here's a good verse out of Proverbs 19. It says, many, and we talked about this a little earlier, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will ultimately stand. So here you've got a plan, right? But there's also a pivot here. And following God's will is a lot like sailing, right? Sometimes you're still headed in the right place. You've still got the same destination, but sometimes the plan, the tack we're on isn't working. And so we need to change tack, right? And we're still progressing toward the ultimate goal, right? But sometimes you just need to change tack. A lot of this, again, is driven by seasonal changes. When I was a child, right, my parents made many of the decisions for my life. But I'm telling you, when I became a married adult, those plans had to change some, right? Those plans needed to change. So you need to pivot. In football language, what this is calling an audible, right? Coach sends in a play, comes into the huddle, quarterback calls the play, everybody's on board. You come up to the line, you scale that, you look at the defense and realize, oh boy, this play is not going to work, right? This is not going to work at all. Man, there are 8 men in the box, and we've got a running play. And so what happens? The quarterback then needs to call a what? An audible. You need to audible out of it. And sometimes that's how it is in life, okay? Sometimes we need to make the pivot. The next thing I would say is this, letter D. You need to budget your yes. Boy, this one's going to hit some people, okay? Need to budget your yes. Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man will prove to be a snare. Some of you, man, you don't want to let anybody down. You don't want to offend anybody. So you just keep saying what? Yes. Yes. Right. To everyone and everything. But here's the thing. If you keep saying yes to everything, then you'll be forced to say no to some things, right, that God asks you to do. I don't know if you've come to this realization yet or not, but we're finite beings. I know I am, right? I have a limited amount of time, money, and energy. Have you noticed this? And if you just keep saying yes to everything, you'll end up accomplishing nothing. Establishing priorities and allowing them to become the driving force behind your decisions that you make. Some of you has said yes to things that you really probably should have said no to. Right? And I'll just say it because they're not here. There are people that are not here this morning because they said yes to things that they should have said no to. Right? And if God is truly first, if God is first fruits, right, there are some things that I need to say no to. Just plain and simple, right? Again, it's the inverted priorities thing. If we just keep adding to the list, eventually it'll invert, or they'll start plugging in and weaseling and squeezing other crucial things, important things out. And the last one I'd say is this, letter E, be diligent to follow through. There is a great text in John chapter 5. This was, you know, Jesus. I mean, busy guy, wouldn't you say? I mean, he was redeeming mankind, right, from hell. So he was a busy guy. And he caught a lot of flack, caught a lot of criticism for the way that he was progressing through life and some of the things that he was doing and things that he wasn't doing, and people were kind of imposing their will on him. And but he remained so true. He remained so true to his priorities. And he said this in John 5:36. This is so good. He says, "For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish are the very works that I'm doing." That's profound, isn't it? That's very profound. He said, you know, the very thing that God commissioned me to do and to be, these are the things that I'm doing, right? He knew what his priorities were, right? And he made his plan accordingly, and he stuck to the plan. You know, he stuck to the plan. Proverbs 14:15, we'll close with this. It says this, the simple believes everything, right? But the prudent gives thought to their steps. Got to make a plan. Right, you got to make a plan for your life, right? And just allow that plan then, and be prudent, and allow that plan, therefore, then to guide the steps of your life. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're so good to us. Man, we just appreciate so much the way that you love us, the way that you care for us. God, I'm grateful for you know, every person that's in this room this morning, particular graduates, God, and I pray that we would take the things that you've taught us today, that we'd take that to heart and not just allow this to be aspirations for our lives, but that, God, we would prioritize the things that your word has taught us today. And so we thank you for that. We're grateful that you did not leave us here on this earth just to kind of meddle our own way through. But that, God, you have laid out a great guide, a great game plan for us through your word. And it's just my prayer that we remain diligent to that. And we're thankful for that. Thank you so much that a part of your plan was to redeem mankind. And Father, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, which was your plan from the very beginning, to die a death that we deserved. You sent him to redeem us, to pull us out of the pit of hell. Lord, and to put us on a trajectory that we can enjoy an eternity with you in heaven. And we're thankful for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to consider that today. Maybe you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I really encourage you to think that through. And we're going to sing this song. Larry's going to come and lead. And if you have a decision you'd like to make for the Lord today, just meet me down front, and we'll just guide you in every step of the way. Let's stand and sing together.